Hi and welcome to Outspoken. You're joined as usual by journalists Amy and Sophie Torber. Coming up on the program, the PR blunder that went viral. Married at First Sight sex-shaming comment, did it go too far? And we reveal all the juicy Love Island secrets as the show wraps. Thank you so much for joining us. Now, unfortunately, Kate's not here for this episode, but you're stuck with Soph and I, and we wanted to touch on a pretty funny story that happened to us this week regarding our public relations company. Sophie, do you want to tell?
Well, just to start off with, it's not the PR blunder that we're referring to in the first paragraph. That is another public relations firm. But as you know, we've spoken about it on previous episodes. We are working on rebranding our company at the moment. And that, of course, involves redoing our website. So we've had to be doing a few little photo shoots, which Amy and I hate doing.
Yeah, I much prefer being behind the camera, if I'm being honest. So anyway, on Friday, we decided, okay, we don't have any meetings locked in. We've got to spend the time to get these photos done. And so the day before, we'd done a little drive around to get
little
some good
scoping
spots.
Out locations.
Yeah. So all we wanted was a plain white wall to take some sleek looking photos on. And unfortunately, we didn't really have a camera person. I was the camera person with the use of a tripod.
Well, to be fair, we did have a photographer on hand, but we feel like dickheads enough without someone standing there. So we kind of wanted to keep it a bit private and thought we'd look a bit more natural just putting on a tripod.
Yeah.
Anyway, it happened to be the sunniest day in Adelaide, which anyone who takes photos will know is terrible for shadows. So we drove to Brighton, we drove to Grange, we drove to West Beach to find a white wall.
We found a white wall, but it was just a completely indirect sun. And as we were heading back from Brighton, I think we just had it. Sophie spotted this white wall. It was on the side of this mobility scooter shop. And technically it was on someone else's property, but we were like, fuck it. Like, we just need to take these photos.
I was also thrilled because, I mean, it's funny that these photos look all glamorous, but then, you know, it's being taken at a scooter mobility center. Anyway, so we set up our tripod, looked like absolute wankers, probably with all these security cameras watching these photos.
We're just waiting to be on shit Adelaide.
I have a lot of respect, I have to say, for influencers now when they say they're doing their content shoot, because I don't know, there's something about me that I don't know if anyone understands this, but I look like a cornetto when I stand in photos. I just, as the camera comes out, I just can't stand normally. Like, I just can't.
Now, well, what happened that might be of interest to some of the listeners to have a chuckle at is we were standing there like absolute dickheads. Every time a car went by, we tried to pretend we were on our phone and we weren't taking photos because we legitimately looked like we were wannabe influencers. Anyway, this guy drives by, this like 40-year-old man in a ute, and he puts his window down. He says, "Hey, girls, what you doing? Would you like be able to take a photo with me?" And we're like, oh, God. And he's like, "Yeah, I want to show the boys back at the site these two stunners standing here.
They won't believe it." Anyway. This sounds really arrogant, but anyway.
I don't think it's arrogant. It was a tradie who probably says that to every woman he drives past. But it was so humiliating.
For the record, we didn't take a photo with
him. No, we didn't.
Now, I've been hanging out to hear this other story from your week that you've been holding on to, Amy. You wanted to tell me on mic to get my reaction to it because it's apparently that good.
I don't want to talk it up too much, but this is my story that I've been saving, Sophie. So, as you know, I have two beautiful cats, Gigi and Bentley, who are both rag dolls. And anyone that knows us will know they leave a trail of fur wherever they go. And unfortunately, sometimes the fur, well, it doesn't fall off around here, but it's very long around their bottoms. So unfortunately, when they go to the bathroom, sometimes remnants of it will be left in their fur. Anyway, I was sitting on the couch on Saturday and Bentley jumped up near me and I noticed he had a bit of poo on his bottom and I was like, oh shit, I need to get rid of this before Dale gets home because he'll think that they're all filthy sitting on the couch because he gets funny about their fur. Anyway, so I went to our little kitchen drawer and I grabbed out the scissors and I decided to trim the fur around his bum. And then I think I heard Dale coming, so I just chucked the scissors back in the drawer. Ooh. Anyway, Dale then decided to make some, he was making some 2-minute noodles for lunch and he went and grabbed the scissors and then cut the sachet. Oh. And then he looked at them and he saw fur hanging off them and he was like, "Have you been using these to cut the cat's fur?" And I was like, "Yeah." I was like, "They're not our kitchen scissors. They're just the everyday scissors. And he's like, are you serious? And I was like, yeah. And he's like, have you done this before? And I was like, yeah. And
what
he's
else, like, does he use the kitchen scissors for?
No. Well, Dale has been known to cut pizza up with scissors. Oh. And so I was thinking, oh my gosh, like, what else has he been using these scissors for? And he's like, I just used these to cut my sachet. Like, anyway,
Not that bad. That's not actually cutting food with it.
No, but I think he's cut other things with the scissors. Anyway.
So, well, at least, I mean, I've heard that in every male's house, there's usually a suspect pair of scissors that's used to cut pubes or something. So,
you know. Who told you that?
I don't know. I think I've read, like, on Cosmo.
That's foul. I just cut Bentley's pubes. Now moving on, over the weekend, infamous food critic John Lathlin took to Instagram to dish out some food for thought. He slammed a junior public relations coordinator for committing what he believes is a cardinal PR sin. So, can you talk us through what actually happened?
Well, over the weekend, a public relations coordinator in Adelaide reached out to John about a review he'd written on her client. And her client is a restaurant called Gaja, and that is a restaurant run by Sushi, who was actually the winner of MasterChef in 2008. And the review was entitled Jack of All Trades, Master of None.
So not a great review.
Not a glowing review from the start. So it's safe to say that from the onset, this review was not going to be flattering to the restaurant. So the public relations coordinator wrote back to John saying, "Hi, John, hope your weekend is going well. We've chosen not to include her name. She said, my name is blah, blah, blah from this public relations firm here in Adelaide. I was directed to your recent review in The Australian of Gaja by Sushi, but as I'm not a subscriber, I am unable to read the article in full. So for now, I'm somewhat left in suspense. I'm currently handling the PR for Gaja by Sushi, and from what I could initially read, it doesn't sound like you had a good experience there. I sincerely apologize, as this is the first negative article I have come across about the restaurant. Therefore, I would appreciate if you were able to please send it to me so I'm able to read over it in full to understand what happened."
Now, it's safe to say John wasn't happy with this email.
No. So John responded by screenshotting the email and posting it to his 20,000 followers on Instagram with the hashtag buy a fucking newspaper. Now, he has been criticized because he did include the name of the PR coordinator in the screenshot. It was lightly scribbled out, but it was evident to all what the girl's name was.
Well, yeah, there was a lot of debate online about this. I think that he should have made an effort to actually cover it properly. I do feel a little bit bad to her because she was identifiable. It's interesting though, because I did a quick search on the PR company, which we're also choosing not to name.
And I feel like I should say, just to clarify, I have previously worked at this PR firm in Adelaide. I just want to put that out there for context.
So, yes, I did a quick search, and she's actually not listed on their website as being a staff member. So it made me question, oh, wow, is this actually an intern who's then been publicly shamed? And perhaps this particular person has been left, I suppose, to work on an account that may be, you know, maybe be out on there. Yeah.
Many people in the industry have been quite vocal online saying that the blame should be with the boss who hasn't given this junior employee the skills that they need to do their job properly, and pointing out that she clearly hasn't been taught an appropriate response in this situation. So I do really feel for this girl, because it does seem like she was completely out of her depth with handling this client.
Well, it seems to me very unusual for this particular firm not to have a subscription to the newspaper, and even just, you know, John's statement, go out and buy a newspaper. I'm just shocked that that didn't pop up in this particular person or the business's head to just, oh, actually, let's just go get the newspaper and see what was said.
Well, the thing that I find most troubling about this incident is that I feel like the PR firm should have known better than to write this email. John is Australia's only national food critic, and this PR firm specializes, or so-called specializes, in hospitality. So in my opinion, the staff should be a across who this major food critic is. He has also recently been in the news, in a lot of pop culture news, not just hospitality news, for calling out influencers Chloe Zepp and Mitchell Orville for what he referred to as them asking for freebies. And we have spoken about that previously. And he has been very vocal in calling out other celebrities and influencers for asking restaurants and cafes for meals in exchange for social media posts. And he's really known for this infamous hashtag called couscous for comment. So, I mean, really, I feel like they should have known better than to reach out to him like this.
Well, it's funny you say that because in his review, he actually mentions that the PR firm in question actually asked him to come in to review the restaurant, which it seems he did not like or respect.
They actually asked him to promote it. That was the words in the email. And this appeared in the second part of his article, which could be seen without a subscription.
I love that he said, oh, I'll put you on to our advertisers.
But that's what disturbs me. The fact that these, I don't know if this was the girl in question, but someone from that PR firm already had received quite a negative response when contacting him. And then is this a situation of poking the bear?
Oh, definitely.
I mean, that's what it seems like to me. And I mean, in PR, obviously we have our own PR firm. Contacts are imperative. That is what makes your PR company stand out. You are really judged on your range of media contacts. And it's not just a matter of finding an email address and shooting an email out to anyone or just sending out a blanket press release or email. Like you've got to know these people. You've got to have specialized, personalized, but even emailing them being like, oh, can you promote our restaurant? That's not an angle.
Yeah. What about, hey, we'd love you to come in and try the food. And if you would like to do a review, because obviously,
but not even that, like this guy won MasterChef 2008. This is something really interesting, new, different about his menu. Yeah. Where's that?
No, but I mean, as in rather than saying, can you advertise this restaurant? Hey, come in, try the food. And give us your honest opinion. That's what a food review is meant to be, an honest opinion. And his honest opinion was he gave this restaurant a 1.
Well, the thing that also disturbs me on many levels is the terrible publicity this has had for Sashi's restaurant. I mean, it has been made 10 times worse. There's a negative review that now has over 200 comments on this Instagram. You know, made me go and look at the review. And yeah, it's terrible. And there's
been the PR blunder, which was meant to be actually, I don't know, trying to fix the problem, I assume, them emailing him, has actually made the whole situation even worse. And what I'm failing to understand is there's been no comment from the PR firm since.
Well, you think as a PR firm, you would be great at crisis management. And they could have used this as an opportunity to show off their skills and spin the story to their favor. If this happened to our agency, I would want to do my best to defend our reputation, our employees, and our client. Yet they've remained silent. And I mean, firstly, let's hope that this PR coordinator who has been unfairly named in this incident is being given appropriate support and isn't copping the blame for something like this,
because I don't think it's her fault.
At the end of the day, I don't feel this responsibility lies with her. I think it lies with her senior manager or boss who was overseeing this client.
Well, as we mentioned, I do think it was wrong for John to include her name in the email. I mean, as we said, he tried to sort of scrub it out, but it was obvious what her name was. And a quick search, well, my quick search on Instagram, I was able to locate the girl on Instagram and Facebook. And her Facebook actually says that she's currently studying media and public relations at uni. So it leads me to believe that she's obviously not very experienced. I mean, it's quite evident in the email that she sent. And that's what's really sad, because this might have put her off PR altogether. I mean, the email was extremely polite, but it was just extremely misguided.
And as we spoke on last week's show, it is really important to consider how this woman must be feeling with being put in the spotlight like this. It was incredibly unfair. I personally don't have an issue with the PR firm being named, because I feel like as a company, I feel like you can cop blame like that, because it's directed at a company, not an individual. That being said, you know, we have our own business, and I understand that it would be very difficult to cop that criticism, and it wouldn't be a nice feeling. So everyone does make mistakes, you know, you just have to learn from them. And I hope that maybe this is a good lesson for her and the PR company on how to respond in these situations next time. You know, we're all human. We all do things perhaps we regret.
Well, moving on to this week's pit and peak of the social media week. Sophie, what have you got for us today?
Well, the peak for me has to be the discovery of epic food challenges on YouTube. And I feel like it's become my new favorite pastime with my boyfriend. So we have been obsessed over the weekend watching Zach Perna, and he has over 600,000 followers on YouTube. He's a Gymshark ambassador, an online fitness coach. He's absolutely ripped. And
he's
basically
got a baby face, doesn't he, though?
Oh, the ones we've been watching are from a few years ago, okay. So he does look a bit older now. But he has grown his channel by offering health advice, but then also pairing it with these huge food challenges. So when he got to 10,000 followers on YouTube, he marked it by eating 10 McDonald's Happy Meals.
Oh, yeah.
And when I heard that, I was like, oh, that'd be no trouble to eat. It looked epic in front, like when they're all in front of
you. How many calories is that?
I think it was 5,000 calories.
Really?
He also...
Really?
Yeah, it was. Wow. Well, I suppose you've got to think about all the chips.
And the drink.
Yeah. And when he got to 20,000, he did one which was even worse. It was the Krispy Kreme challenge where he attempted to eat 50 Krispy Kreme donuts in 10 minutes.
Jeez. So did he do the whole water thing where you dunk it in water and that helps it go down, or...?
He actually didn't, because I think he didn't want to fill up too much on the water. But I mean, I don't know. There's just something to me that has been so satisfying about watching this fit person eating a shit ton of food.
Do you remember, Soph? I don't know if we've mentioned this in the podcast before, but Soph and I did PR for a particular client, and we had an eating competition. So we organized professional eaters to go into Sydney, and they had to eat as many 2-minute noodles as they could. And we had to organize the competitive eaters, and we were expecting sort of like, you know, big and men or women to come along. These guys were ripped. Like, they had six packs. Like, one of them took their shirt off to put on the tops we had made for them. And I was like, what the hell? Like, Sophie's boyfriend was so jealous because he thought we were going to just be hanging out with these big eaters. And it was like some ripped model competitive eater.
Well, maybe there is something said with that. Like, maybe the ripped fit people are so good at it because they limit themselves so much usually that they're just so bloody hungry when they try and do these food challenges.
Well, the craziest thing about the food eaters that we dealt with was after they'd eaten this horrendous amount of 2-minute noodles, they're all like, oh, do you guys want to come with us? We're going to get burgers. I'm like, what? How are you guys eating after this? This is incredible.
I will warn you though, anyone who checks this out, you will feel incredibly hungry after this. It just made me so hungry.
Now, moving on to our pit, this stems from our conversation last week about influencers Madison Woolley and Jonathan Sauer. Now, last week, we were a little bit unsure about their relationship status as both had unfollowed each other on Instagram, which we all know is a big deal in the influencer world. We were a little bit happier to see that they then did refollow each other and started posting photos. Anyway, Sophie and my interest was ignited when, I think it was last Monday, Madison Woolley shared a YouTube entitled Valentine's Day /real talk/events. And we were like, oh my God, she's going to spill the tea on what happened.
I was utterly disappointed. I got all set up with my food, ready to watch this tea unfold.
Should we
let's insert a clip of what talking real was.
Keeping it real with you guys, I actually had a really bad afternoon. I got some bad news with things. I got a bunch of setbacks with a few things. I got some bad news and it was just like not a good afternoon, so I didn't really vlog a lot. I feel like you guys know me, like I like to be bubbly and always keep my channel a really positive environment, and like I want you guys to come and watch my videos and like go away like feeling good, not feeling like, I don't know, sad. So I don't really, you know, like share too much about that, but obviously I want to keep it real with you guys and let you guys know that not everyone has perfect days all the time, so normal. And yeah, I just didn't really want to vlog too much yesterday, but we're gonna vlog today. New day, starting fresh, it's all good.
Okay, so that was her keeping it real, telling her followers that you don't normally, like sometimes it's not a good day, but what did she actually keep real? She didn't actually say what she was upset about.
Now, I understand people like to keep things private, but if your whole occupation is based around the fact of you sharing information about your life, I think that is a slight cop-out.
Ugh. And then a lot of people were actually commenting below saying, are you and Jonathan still together? Because she showed some of her Valentine's Day, which literally just involved her hanging out with her two girlfriends. She did mention that Jonathan had sent her some roses, but then he did not appear in the video at all. It was all very odd. If I was her, I just probably wouldn't have put it up altogether unless I was going to address the elephant in the room.
But something obviously happened because something obviously happened because she did say real talk.
Yeah.
So it's like this clickbaiting thing that, it was very disappointing.
Do you know what? I mean, that's a thing. No one wants to share details if they've had a fight with their boyfriend. But I think if you're in that sort of, like, they do actually post a lot about their relationship.
But don't clickbait it then.
No, but I think if people are invested in their relationship, and if you're going to make a big deal about it online, you should kind of keep people up to date, because I'm sure if they said, look, we actually had a really silly tiff and we actually unfollowed each other, this is what happens, people could probably really relate to it. So that was our peak, being disappointed. How sad are we at 30 being disappointed that a 22-year-old didn't spill the tea on her tiff? Well, I think we should move on to what's been making news in our social media feeds. Sophie, what's been making news in yours?
Well, there is a new filter on Instagram and TikTok that has been attracting a lot of attention for the wrong reasons. I don't know if you've seen this one. It's called Little Icy Eyes.
No.
Now, this filter gives users a very kind of cold, icy stare. It makes their eyelashes look thicker and also slims down their nose and makes their lips larger. So it's very similar to a lot of ones that we're seeing.
Does it actually look fake? Like, could you tell it's a filter?
Oh, you could definitely tell it's a filter.
Actually, I reckon I saw Shani Grimmon using it, because I took a screenshot and I messaged Kate and was like, oh my God, has she had her nose done? It looks tiny. What's going on? And she's like, no, it's a filter. I was like, oh gosh, it's quite real looking.
Well, this filter has taken off, but a lot of users have been shocked because it's actually been banned. So,
As of this week?
As of this week, yes, been banned. Now, unbeknownst to me, and I do take my hat off for Instagram doing that, they have a new rule which bans any filter that provides a plastic surgery effect. And they have done this due to research that suggests that visuals like this negatively impact the well-being of its users. So, yeah, this filter has been banned.
Do you know what I love? That it's like, it's okay for the filters. You know those filters where you look disgusting? It's like, that's fine. Anyone that makes you look better, we'll just ban it.
Well, I don't think the bad filters would be doing much for your mental health.
No.
But it's really interesting because I didn't know that a lot of these filters have actually been created by people for free. So you can actually create your own filter. And the woman who created this Little Icy Eyes filter, she gained 150,000 TikTok followers in one day when she went viral for this filter.
Oh my gosh.
So there could be a bit of money made from doing these sort of filters. So it's good that there are proper strict rules in place about what sort of filter you can have.
Well, in my newsfeed, all I've been hearing about is Married at First Sight. And I know, Sophie, you're only up to the weddings. You've got to catch up.
Oh my God.
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry for anyone out there who loves Married at First Sight. But I have only watched one episode this year, which is rare for me. And I find the people completely tacky and disgusting on there.
You have to push through it. You just want to get that. Yes, the weddings are boring. You've got to push through to the dinner party.
Could
that's
we
where
see
it's all
some
happening.
Real people on there, though? Like some people that actually seem nice?
Look, there are some. I'm trying to think who's not.
They all seem the same to me. I can't tell them apart.
Well, actually, one person who I think comes across as really sweet on the show is Mikey. And he's the one who runs a nursing home. And he's like best friends with his auntie who's got a disability. And anyway, he's been partnered with Natasha, who is probably best known on the show for getting tanning injections. And she's a lawyer. She's a very smart girl. And she was sort of portrayed as the young woman who goes out with the older, more powerful businessman. And anyway, I felt so awkward this week because there was an episode, basically it's been intimacy week this week, and the experts have been claiming it's not just about sex, it's about, you know, holding hands and learning more about their partners. Basically, that's all bullshit. It's just been about pushing all the partners to have sex so then they can humiliate them when it comes to the Sunday session where they ask them all these invasive questions. So Mikey and Natasha revealed that they actually had slept together. And Mikey made a comment in the morning, hopefully next time will be better. Hopefully it'll be longer than 10 seconds next time.
Wait, so he said this or she said this?
So he said this, and then they all had a bit of a laugh. So then it comes to the dinner parties and Natasha walks up to Michael, who's a very outspoken character on the show. And they were asking, like Michael was asking how things had gone with Natasha that week. And she said to Michael and his wife, Stacey, oh yes, you know, we slept together. Hopefully it will last a bit longer than 10 seconds next time. Ha ha ha. Like it was the best 10 seconds of my life, but I'm hoping for 20 seconds next time. And Michael was quite furious at this comment.
Can I just say that, but didn't he say it in front of everyone before?
He said it to Natasha, so in private.
Okay.
So then what's happened is Michael was just stirring the pot this episode. He was picking fights with everybody. And he actually told Mikey what Natasha had said and said it was humiliating. Then Mikey stormed off and Natasha's confronted Michael about what he said. And Michael's told Natasha that she's sex shamed her husband. Now, I was thinking, gosh, one, I hope kids aren't watching this because this isn't on super late at all. And two, I felt humiliated for this poor guy.
Can I just say that you said before that he said it in private to his bride, but wasn't that filmed?
It was filmed, but I think it was, he was saying it in a jokey way and the way that she repeated it to Michael was as if it was absolutely factual. So he was kind of laughing it off, but he's since gone on Kyle and Jackie O and he's claimed that yes, they slept together twice and that yes, the first time didn't last very long, he said, because of the build up to it. And that the second time he, which was actually mentioned on the show, he actually ended the session because he said he had cramp in his foot and he said on Kyle and Jackie O, he actually lied about the cramp.
Why did he lie?
Because he said he didn't really find her that attractive. And I was like, wow, he's coming.
That's a bit of a dick thing to say as well.
Yeah, he came across so differently on Kyle and Jackie O. I'd advise anybody who actually loves maths to go and check out that interview because you'll see a completely different side of Mikey.
I mean, I just think, you know, before we're obviously talking about Madison and Jonathan for wanting to give us a bit more details. This is too much detail. Like, we don't need to hear about these people's sex lives. Like, that's too much.
Well, it did make me think, like, wow, with all this stuff going on, being publicly humiliated like that, not just at a dinner party with these people you know, but on national television, like, what's that doing to his mental health?
But to be fair, he doesn't have to hit back and say he doesn't find her attractive. I think that's a bit of a low blow.
I know. Anyway, that's my little maths wrap up for you. Hopefully that entices you to push through the wedding.
To be honest, it doesn't. now, there is a TV show that I am excited for, and that is the new Friends reunion. And I don't know about anyone else, but on Saturday morning, when I saw all of the cast post the announcement, I was just so excited.
I actually thought it was just clickbait because every year there seems to be a rumor that Friends is going to come back.
Yeah, well, it is interesting that it comes months after the 25th anniversary of the show.
Oh my gosh, and months after Jennifer Aniston joined Instagram.
Yeah,
isn't
exactly.
Isn't that interesting?
Well, she did hint that there was a new project involving the cast in October last year. So for those who didn't see it, all of the cast posted the same photo and then wrote underneath, "It's happening." So at first, though, I thought it was actually going to be a couple of episodes.
Yeah.
But then I obviously found out that it's an unscripted special, which I wasn't as thrilled about.
Oh.
So they're all going to be sitting around discussing the show.
Oh, that's kind of interesting. I just clicked on Jennifer Aniston's Instagram because I actually hadn't seen the photo yet. And I was like, wow, they look good. And I was like, wait, this is from when Friends began. Okay.
Well, what is quite shocking is that each cast member is reportedly being paid between $2.5 and $3 million just to appear on this one episode. And that is double what they were paid for the last series of Friends for each episode. So that's quite a lot of money on the line for this show. Now onto our last topic. With another series of Love Island UK coming to an end, secrets have started to leak about some of the activity inside the villa. Amy, what are some of these secrets that are coming out?
Well, Ollie from this year's Love Island Winter Edition has spoken out on a UK podcast and he's revealed some pretty juicy details about how the cast were actually selected. So he's confirmed that 100% of the cast did not apply.
Unfortunately, that's not really a shock to me.
No, so
did their managers apply for them?
No, so Ollie said that he got a message on Instagram, so producers have been scouting on there. But it did surprise me a little bit because I thought maybe at least half might have auditioned and half, because last year, 6 of the Islanders actually applied. Now, can you guess who they were?
I think it was Amy Hart.
Yeah, Amy was one of them.
I'm actually struggling to remember many of them from last year, apart from the obvious Molly, who I don't think would have applied, and Maura, who I don't think would have applied.
No, so it was Michael, Ovi, and Joe.
And that does surprise me.
Yeah, and then 2 contestants in Casa Amor. Anyway, another piece of gossip he dropped that may not come as a surprise to you, Sophie, is the fact that, you know, when they do their little entrance videos and they talk themselves up, he said that they are just told exactly what to say. I don't know if you remember, but he famously said in his little intro that he was the heir to an estate. And he said what actually happened is they asked him what he did, and he said, "I'm a farmer from Cornwall." And then they said, "Wait, aren't you that heir to the estate? Can you say that instead?" So he said all of those intros, absolute bullshit, which when you think about it, it's funny because they all come in all talk and then they're all actually quite lovely. So
it reminds me of Geordie Shore, their intros that they used to take.
Well, talking about Geordie Shore, he and some other sites have actually revealed some connections between Love Island contestants and also connections with Geordie Shore stars. So it's come out that, you know, Luke M, the lovable.
I do know Luke M.
So Luke M's the guy that looks like Justin Bieber. He was actually on an episode of Geordie Shore. He was the guy that was chatting up Vicky, and Vicky said on camera, "Oh, I've been chatted up by Justin Bieber's little brother."
Do you know what? I would have more expected Rebecca to be on Geordie Shore. A lot of people were saying she did apply for the wrong show and that she should have been on Geordie Shore over Love Island.
Well, actually, some of the Geordie Shore cast members have been commenting on her Instagram, so there is thought that she is friends with some of them.
Oh, that does make sense.
So Amber, who won last year's Love Island, she's also friendly with Rebecca. So there's thought that maybe she put her forward for Love Island. And then also, you know, Jess, one of the twins, she and Alexi, who was one of the guys that came into the villa, like the Casa Amor.
Oh, with Casa Amor.
Yeah, they apparently exchanged Instagram handles in a nightclub.
Oh, that's kind of like how Curtis Pritchard had slid into Maura Higgins' DMs.
But that made me feel so old. I'm like, so people don't give their phone numbers out? They exchange Instagram handles?
I don't know if that's everyone or if that's just certain people.
Well, Sophie is also have said to have known Kem, who was on a few series ago, who won as well. So there's all these different connections going on, which are rather interesting.
And there also seems to be some stuff leaked about the contracts that Love Island has in place. What is that information?
Well, according to Ollie, they've signed an agreement saying that they're not going to engage in any sexual activity that might upset others. And so he was actually referencing masturbation in the villa, basically. And he said that it's so difficult to actually do that because there's cameras everywhere. Even in the toilets, they have cameras. So their CCTV cameras are presumably for their welfare. But he said that you can't masturbate in the bed because there's somebody sleeping next to them.
Well, so, it also sounds like this rule is in place. I mean, if we think back to Big Brother a number of years ago when they had that turkey slapping incident, I suppose that is in there to make sure that everyone's safe and behavior doesn't get out of hand.
Well, Love Island's actually been praised though, because in previous series the Islanders have actually all slept together, but in the past 2 they haven't. Well, I think there's been rumors that Finn and Paige may have, but nothing's been confirmed. But
it looked like it from the footage that they showed the other night.
Well, it's meant to be a bit more family friendly, and it really has been. Besides their discussions from the Breakfast Club, as they're calling it, but I think we'll leave it at that. I think that's enough Love Island gossip. And the finale actually aired in the UK today. We're recording this on a Monday, but we're not going to spoil anything because I know it hasn't aired here yet. But it looks like it's going to be a huge episode.
Well, that's probably all we have time for today. Thank you so much for joining us for this episode.
And if you did enjoy listening, we'd love if you could share it on your Instagram account. And remember to tag us so we can have a look. And please feel free to leave us a review on the Apple iTunes podcast app.
We'd also appreciate if you could subscribe, because that really does help us move into the charts and get in more people's feed.
And if you would like to join in the conversation, you can, of course, join us on Instagram @outspoken_the_podcast. And we're also on Facebook by the same name.